Welcome back, loyal listeners. This is episode 6, week 6 of the Gang Talks Fantasy Football. A lot of things going on. Zach mostly forgot to send me the files for the introduction segment that we initially recorded. So once he sends me those files, I can swap this out for that. But until then, enjoy the rest of the podcast.
The Superlative segment with your host, Justin. Justin, take it away.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to start with the baby butcher herself taking on you, the big dog, and just gave it to you. And it kind of just like brought up some memories of Autumn in the past years. Just, she's always had good teams. They've always kind of been like, I think it was the very beginning, like 2017 when we first started, when she had a like one of the best teams. And then after that, it was kind of middle of the pack. But she's always taken on like the biggest dog of whatever current year, whatever year we were at. And she would just like, oh, everybody just writes her off. And then she would all of a sudden just pull out of nowhere and just get the win. And I don't know, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about, like, maybe what your guys' thoughts about your, like, facing her. And, like, it's just, for me, it's always, like, a dread. Because, like, I'm just like, okay, on paper, my team seems better than hers. But for some reason, I know I'm probably going to lose. And so I'm not sure if you guys have that kind of, like, history with her. And, like, if you have any specific memories, Jay?
All right. So let me go in depth on this a little bit. So 2017, stellar team, finished in second. She destroyed me twice that year. 2018, that's when she started being middle of the pack. She started really learning the game, started taking control of her team. She walloped me week 2, and then I barely beat her the next time we played week 10. 2019, the year I won, I was the champ. She destroyed me week 2, or I beat her week 2, and then when I was on my run, she walloped me out of nowhere, 172 points. We had never seen that in the league.
172?
172 to 128. She just walloped me.
Dude, you put up like a good game, 128. That's not bad at all. That's really good.
And she made a pretty good playoff run too that year. She beat Larry round one of the playoffs, 154 to 100, and then lost to your brother Alex. Week 2. 2020, looking at my games with Autumn again, she walloped me week 2, and then just barely lost to me week 10, and then she's back at it again.
When she takes the 2-time down throughout several years, it's pretty crazy, and knowing that she's going to take a future 2-time down, like myself, man, like, I think Justin said it. I can't add any more to it. It's just, you think your team's good and you don't really want to sweat it at all, and then just out of nowhere just takes the win from you. I think I want to say though that mine is probably worse than what you ever experienced, because she changed her name before the Sunday window to literally like killing me, and she beat me, and so that hurt more. And then after the end of the week, like, I listened to the short story for the first time, and I was like, dang, she called her shot. So that's just, like, I can't even be mad at that. I just got to give her props. So, you know, I think I'm proud of her, but at the same time, I'm bummed. No perfect season. The dream is dead. So now it's just make the playoffs, dude.
Now it's the playoffs. Chris show. The
talking Chris show. About playoffs.
Don't talk about playoffs.
Let's talk about your boy Justin getting his first win, and we're going to be on an absolute run now. I mean, I like my team. I like the way it looks, but will it perform is a different question. I mean, if I'm being honest, I think it's a setup pretty well. And I mean, I was looking at my schedules going forward, and I feel like I have a chance to like put together a bit of a stretch of some wins back to back. I mean, just talking, looking at this next game, I'm biased because DeAndre Hopkins came back and put up a 20-point game, so I'm looking good already. But Elias, I'm facing Elias, who doesn't have his Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, Devin Singletary, Bills offense, and so it's looking good for me. And just like going forward, I'm playing some people who've been on a bit of a slide, and so hopefully that's gonna give me enough momentum to like sneak into that playoff push. And so I know Jay was on a bit of a slide, and then he's finally bounced back. So I kind of wanted to see his thought process on like a playoff push for him, because he's kind of in the thick of it, right?
Yeah, I think our records don't really show how close to each other we really are in this league. I just had the games that you won early on where you kind of play those middle-of-the-pack teams that don't perform and your team does perform. I think you just haven't had those games yet. So I could see you on the upside, but if not, then we'll share a drink, in the toilet bowl.
But yeah, so I'm looking at like playoff percentages, and like these always change by the week, and so you never know if they're going to be accurate. And who knows what Watson's thinking or whatever IBM is calculating. But like right now, I'm at 14%, and so I mean, I just have to beat out a couple people who are 3-3 right now. If some of them going slides, and then I can sneak my way into there. So it's not out of the question. If I take another loss, then it's probably done. What's been like the ticket to going into playoff? 7-7 this year, right?
Yeah, it's
so 8-5 in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try to hit that at least 7-7 mark. I already got the 5 losses, so can't take too many more losses. But my upcoming opponents look pretty beatable, and so especially with buys coming into effect, it'll be interesting to see how people. I mean, we even had like Will just elect to sit a player and not do anything and still win. So you never know, even with buys, what people are going to do. And so it's with injuries. So I think you're going to see some people make some pushes and see how well their team is constructed. But yeah, it's going to take me into it's a different topic, I guess, kind of in the same vein. And it's just like me and Jay, and like I kind of want to talk about other teams that were kind of on the ledge of kind of just going into despair and seeing if they have a route to get out of it. I mean, we have me at 1-5. We have Autumn, who just got the big win at 2-4. Maybe this turns her season around. Larry, his team. Teams well put together. I don't know. It's tough.
It started off really strong. Like we were like, Larry's got a good team, and then it's just been week after week just slowly getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's a long season, and so probably going to see a lot of flags from people, because I think he's on a losing streak of 4 right now. Yeah, and so we have Alex also on the slide. He's got 2 losses in a row. Michael's got 1 loss, but he's had a stretch of like 3 losses. I think he started out pretty well, right? Wasn't he like 2-0 to begin? Or at least 1-1?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
And so it's just been tough sledding for him. I know you had some tough sledding to begin with. You had 1 win at the get-go and then had like 3 losses in a row?
Yeah.
And so you finally got back to 500. And so, yeah, you see people clawing back and forth. Even Micah, like, you think he started off 0-2. And then he's been on a 4 wing streak, and so that's put him up to the top. And so, I'm just looking at it right now, and he's on a 4 wing streak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so
he had tough games right out the gate.
Larry tanking and him on a 4 win. Wow.
And so, yeah, it's always kind of fun to just look at like how people are doing, and like it has. The better than expected Alina at 34% to make playoffs, even though she's tied for 4th right now. So
look at those playoff percentages, and she's just like an outlier way up there in the rankings.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like 70%, 59%, and then she's like 1, 2, 3, 4, she's like 4 or 5 slots ahead of where she should be.
Yeah, she's got worse odds than Alex, and he's down at ninth place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's been on an absolute run of just, like, I want to say luck, but, I mean, hey, next fantasy football, and so we're all just playing the game, and she's been pretty good about it. But, yeah, it's going to take me to the bye seasons and how it's going to, like, start. I think this the bye season really test fantasy teams and how, like, how much depth they have, right? And so you look at some teams, like a Chris, and he's got, a very strong starting lineup. But, like, if you dive deep into his bench, it's going to be struggling. It's going to be struggle to, like, plug and play. Like, say, if I'm not sure when they have their bye weeks coming up, but if he has a couple players on a bye week, like, say he has, I'm not sure, like a Saquon and a Joe Burrow out for some reason in the same week, then he's going to have a hard time trying to find players to plug in there. But he's also going to be probably like, what, 8-0 at that point, so it doesn't really matter for him. But for other players,
the perfect season is still a dream. Not there hasn't been a single person with the perfect season yet.
Yeah, the best streak was it was Alex, I think, in 2019.
Yeah,
11 wins in a row.
So interesting point. I just looked up CMC and Saquon had the same bye, and that's in week 9. And so we're gonna see if he can.
Who's he playing in week 9?
I hope, well, it's not me, but
no, he plays Autumn in week 11.
Week 9. He plays. Does he play you? No.
He plays me, baby. Let's go.
Some luck.
Going to pull. I'm going. Not even gonna pull punch. I'm just gonna throw double.
Oh, you don't have Chubb that week though.
That's fine. I'll manage.
Will you?
I'll figure it out.
It's kind of just like interesting to look at like teams and see if they have the depth to manage the buys. As we saw, like I was talking about Will, he just had all Raiders essentially, and he still managed to get a win. So kind of just goes to show his depth.
Yeah. And speaking of Will's win, he's playing Elias when he won, and this week Elias has 3 Buffalo Bills on bye week.
It is a good time to be me going against Elias right now. He started Marcus Mariota, Antonio Gibson, and Juju Smith-Schuster in place of those 3. I'm feeling good. Even though I have Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not going to talk about that right now. But yeah, it just depth shows a lot, and it'll be interesting to see how people manage. Definitely going to be some interesting losses and wins due to the buys, like it always is during the season. And it's probably going to affect how the playoffs shape up. So definitely something to keep an eye out for. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for my little segment of hot takes or whatever you want to call it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. It's always fun just to ramble on about stuff. But yeah, I hope I kept it somewhat concise, and we'll get back to you guys next time.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. That was your superlatives from Hot Take Justin. Next, we'll have the player spotlights after this. WAP or Trap segment, the greatest segment in all of fantasy football. We have week 7 coming up. Before we touch on week 7's WAP or Trap picks, we got to look into the scoreboard because we're having a little bit of a tussle here for second place, right, Justin?
Yeah, you definitely had, 2 wins last week, right?
I think so. I caught up.
Mm-hmm. So definitely going to try to make sure I nail all of these 3. Got some interesting choices. Definitely got try to catch up to Jay. He's got 10 points right now, right?
I am the king of this segment.
Not for long.
I think you're right. Like, first off, he is the king of this segment, but I like where Justin was going.
Yeah, not bad. I think we got some interesting players to see if they can hit their projections. And so my first one is going to be Jonathan Taylor. He got a projection of 18.4 points. And who is he playing? He is playing Tennessee. Ooh, so we're going to see a Derrick Henry versus Jonathan Taylor matchup again. Yeah, coming off his bye, coming off an injury. Oh, just come off an injury. that he couldn't go on a Thursday night. So he's had 2 weeks. And I just don't think, I mean, I traded him, so I kind of want him to do bad. But I also have some Jonathan Taylor stock in other leagues. So I'm still skeptical on him right now. And so I'm going to go with a trap for me.
What about you, Jay?
Well, just looking at Deion Jackson's run last week, he put up 28 points, and Jonathan Taylor, I think, is a better athlete than Deion Jackson. So I think he might be able to fit in, but again, he just coming off an injury. I don't think this is going to be his second breakout. So I'm going to go trap for Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, you look at what the New England Patriots are doing, right? They're kind of middle of the pack here whenever you're talking about rush defense. And this time, don't worry, Jay, I looked it up properly. Middle of the pack, you got the most recent guys kind of putting up some good points with Deion Jackson. It's pretty tough, but 18.4 points, that's a lot. You give him 100 and a score and maybe two catches. Coming back from an injury, I don't see him doing that. I'm going to go ahead and go trap.
Got three traps.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, what do you got for us?
All right. So I think this is a little surprise for you guys. So I'm going to go with the handsome one, if you will, Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, picture yourself waking up Christmas morning and you got exactly what you wanted. You know what you're doing all that weekend, Justin? You're playing with that new toy. Jimmy G just got one of the best new toys in the league in Christian McCaffrey, a certified dual threat. Christian McCaffrey is going to be a solid dump-off target. Jimmy G, he's going to have that insurance in CMC if he plays to his ability. I think this is going to be CMC's breakout game for the 49ers. He might not do as well the rest of the season for the 49ers. Hopefully they don't, because I can't stand when the Zach's both doing well in fantasy football and when the 49ers are doing well. So I'm going to say WAP for Jimmy G.
I'm going to also say WAP for Jimmy G, because the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the worst in passing defense. So they allow, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're the sixth worst passing defense right now, allowing a lot, over 260 yards per game in passing. So, I think a WAP. We got a new toy. Playing against the Chiefs, they're going to have to keep up scoring. Got to pass the ball.
That's tough. It's pretty 14.3 for Jimmy G. He's missed it a couple times against some teams, but on average, I think, I want to say, I mean, for quarterbacks, it should be kind of easy to get 14.3, but for some reason, I don't like it from Jimmy G this week. I'm going to go trap.
So you're going against us here, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to swerve left when you guys go right.
This one, my pick here, I'm going to go ahead and humor Ben a little bit, right? He went ahead and he picked up Greg Dulcich here because he had his first NFL game and a first touchdown as a tight end. And I'll tell you what, it was a fluke. It's not going to happen. You're on the Denver Broncos. That's reality. And Russell Wilson does not have the team around him to help him succeed in the scheme and everything. It's not going to work. The coaching staff, everything, it's not going to work. I think it was a fluke. Greg Dulcich, 7 points. That's going to be a trap for me.
Yeah. You got a WAP? Oh, you got a trap?
Yeah, I'm going to say trap for... I'm going to say trap for Greg Dulcich. He's a good athlete, but he's playing for the Broncos. And I don't think you could trust a Broncos player right now. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they got like four tight ends and they just like rotate them through. And so it's kind of just like a flavor of the week, it seems like. Yeah, I mean, Greg Dulcich. It's only 7 points. He's done absolutely nothing, though, in the past 5 weeks, six. He only had one catch. He had 2 receptions in this week 6.
He was in IR. That's why he hasn't done anything. He just got activated.
Interesting. Screw it. We're going to go WAP with Greg.
Ooh, you can either take the lead here or you're going to fall to third, man.
Go
we'll
put
see.
Some money on big old Greg.
Yeah, good for you, man. Did you guys see that bet that was made?
Yeah, I saw that.
Dude, what a baller of a bet that was. So, yeah, in this case, guys, that's going to go ahead and wrap up our Whapper Trap segment. We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about the Week 7 outlook here coming up right after this. And here we are for our final segment, just a day later. Unfortunately, Sanjay can't be with us, but we do have a surprise guest. I would like you guys to welcome our true and lovely Alina Gonzalez-Lopez.
Hey, yo!
And she's going to be here for her first time on the podcast. And so we're going to go ahead and ask her about her first interest on what's happening in this upcoming week of Week 7. Alina, what game do you have your eyes on right now?
Yeah, I'm super interested in the matchup between Autumn and Will. So Fortunato Amaniato and Anderson Financial. I feel like there's a lot of potential with both teams. Autumn has some really good players that potentially could put out some big points. And Will's team, I feel like all season, it's been the team that we've talked the least about, but has been the most consistently mid. So between both, I feel like it could be a pretty good matchup.
And when you look at Will's team, what's the one or two players that you think, if there's any players that can actually put up the amount of points that to give him a win, who would those players be?
Well, first of all, he has Brandon Ayuk, who has been killing it all season. He has Jacobs, he has Adams, he has Ertz, who put up, I mean, not too many, but for the most part, like, those are big names in the NFL. And Murray got him 17.16 points. That's a lot for a QB right now. I know that position hasn't been this season pretty heavy. Like, I don't think very many QBs besides Tua in the beginning and Lamar in the beginning had been putting up more than 15 to 16 points all season. So that's a pretty heavy start for a QB. And he's got Jacobs and Adams and Ayuk. And I feel like those three can be a pretty power combo.
I think so too. And honestly, if you see the tears that Melvin Gordon was probably shedding on the sideline on the Broncos game, it looks like he's actually getting the start too. So if you consider Jacobs, Murray, Adams, Ayuk, I mean, those are four big names right there themselves to go ahead and put up some big points. But when you look on Autumn's end, then why do you think that she could probably keep up or compete with Will?
Well, first of all, she's got Mixon, who has been killing it all season. She has Harris, who is here to put the hurt on all of us. I'm a big fan of Butker. I've had him every year, but this year in fantasy, he's a consistent kicker that could potentially put it more than 10 points in one game. I mean, Autumn's taking a chance here with Zach Wilson, but I mean, I'm not mad about it. She has Montgomery. Diggs is out this week on a bye, so that's might be putting a little bit of a impasse on her team, but I don't know. I still have faith in her and I'm rooting for her in the long run. I want her to come back this season. So I don't know. I mean, Will's my brother, but I'm low key rooting for Autumn on this one. So in my opinion, this is my team to watch. I'm kind of interested in this matchup this week.
I think it's going to be a little bit more in favor of Will's team. If you're kind of looking at the projections at the moment, it looks like it's a little bit more in favor of Will by about 10 points. But at the same time, too, I mean, Zach Wilson only put up like 4 points against me, and her team beat me this last week. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll keep an eye, though, on that Wilson and Montgomery. Those might be the only things holding her back. But in the end, I think Anderson Financial does have an advantage. But aside from that, I mean, there's a lot more that's going on this league. And about this time, just before we're hitting that halfway mark, there's a couple of teams out there that are really trying to make a push. Do you think there's any team, Justin, that like stands out in this matchup that it's almost like a must-win scenario?
Between Autumn and Will?
Aside from Autumn and Will, anyone else in any other matchups?
I mean, you have me and Elias's matchup. And Elias is 3-3, and so he's looking for a win. And obviously, I am 1-5, and so I am desperately looking for a win. And so, yeah, I mean, my team, this is recording Friday night, and so we got Thursday night already, and I can see that I have D-Hop in the flex already with 20 points. That's big for me, and yeah, Elias is looking tough. I mean, he's got Marcus Mariota as his QB. I have Aaron Rodgers. That's kind of a wash right now, the way Aaron Rodgers is playing. If you look at the running back positions, he has Antonio Gibson and Raheem Mostert for the Dolphins versus my Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker. I'm not going to try to toot my own horn, but if you're a betting man, you're going to be betting on my side, as Breece Hall has shown that he is the lead back and a elite lead back for the Jets. And Kenneth Walker has come into his own as the only running back for Seattle. If you want to dive more into the depth of our charts, I have Amon Ra St. Brown and CeeDee Lamb, and he's got Deebo and Curtis Samuel, the two Samuel brothers. Not really brothers, but yeah, I mean, you guys can say whether or not you guys like which side you guys want to be on, the side of for the wide receivers, but again, I think my wide receivers have the edge. I would be curious to see what you guys have as your edge in this matchup. But
I'm not going to lie to you, man. Your team looks good. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, you have St. Brown, who he's been out for the last few weeks plus a bye week, and he's had the rest. Kenneth Walker taking up the starting position, and he's obviously fresh legs as a rookie. Breece Hall, same thing. Rookie legs, killing it. CeeDee Lamb. Is CD Lamb, I mean, Njoku is apparently finally doing well. You have D-Hop, who's back. Awesome draft pick, man. Keep it on your bench. It's going to pay off in the long run. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. If there's any time for you to make a push, I wouldn't be surprised if you continue to go on a win streak here. You have a really good team, and you probably also have an angry Aaron Rodgers there ready to start putting up some points. So yeah, I think you're a force to be reckoned with right now.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't put up points this game, then it's just this whole season is lost.
Do you think that, or Packers? Do you think that if you for the Packers, that's besides the point. This is about fantasy football, not real football, Justin. I mean,
it
Escalina
kind of ties together. It ties together, right?
Escalina, in this case, Alina, take a look at these two teams here, right? Between Justin and then between Elias. On Elias's team, which
for the
player
rivalry
is fantasy god gifted?
I'm going to be honest. Based on the rivalry, the only player on Elias's team that I'm like rooting for that I think is going to pull through might be Deebo. But then again, this season he hasn't really done much. I mean, I have Amon-Ra in another league and I know he's killing it. I'm excited to see him back. Lamb, as a Cowboys fan, like, I'm rooting for him. And Njoku has been putting up points. Like, I'm going to give it to Justin. Even though we have that rivalry, like, yeah, your team looks pretty stacked this week. And I mean, I'm not a Rodgers fan, so I don't know how much he's going to put up, but I feel like he's put up a consistent 16 points, and 16 points is what you need. Like I said, I don't think very many quarterbacks this season have been putting up high points. So as long as he puts up that 15 to 16 points and all your players come through, like, yeah, I think you have it this week.
I mean, you look at Deebo Samuel, and he's the number 10 wide receiver, but I think I get your point when you say that he hasn't done much. Deebo Samuel was putting up like 20 points a game last season. And this time you look around and he's only had one game where he's actually scored over 16 points. Every other game has been 16 or less. And so if you drafted him at that high position, that first round, late first round, maybe early second round, I don't know if you're getting what you expected. I wouldn't be happy with what I'm getting. And so I understand what Alina's saying about that. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if there's any receiver in the league that could try to put up that, like, a lot of points, Deebo would be in that conversation. So you got to be careful. But Justin, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, Deebo is a threat, but this is after the fact of the 49ers adding a threat in the running back position that you are very happy about.
CMC. And
it's CMC. CMC, and we don't know what this looks like. We don't know if he's actually going to even play. I'm not sure if the reports are out yet. But yeah, if he's playing, this goes away from Debo's running back looks. It's going to turn him into like a pure wide receiver. And so we're not quite sure what that looks like, because Deebo has always been like the Swiss Army knife. And so it would be interesting to see how they utilize Deebo. Because, yeah, they're not going to be running him into the ground like they did last year in which he got injured. And so it could be a benefit for Deebo. It could be a minus for Deebo. Who knows?
I feel like it's a good compromise, right? So I think that it's going to make the eyes look in two different directions. Whereas right now, all the pressure's on Debo. I feel like adding CMC, it's breaking it up a little bit and kind of adding a little bit of, you know, it could go either way. So, you know, it's definitely going to change up the game. I'm hoping it, you know, pays off for the Niners, because if they don't win in this house, it's not the best move for it's not the best vibe in the house if the Niners lose. But at the same time, I think it's a risky call. But also, like, it could pay off if a house divided, if they get to see both players putting up some points, it's going to definitely distract the defense a little bit more.
I also think that, like, aside from this scenario, just to kind of maybe wrap up with this one about the Niners, I mean, obviously we're talking about Debo, we're talking about CMC and everything. There's another team that has CMC, so we could touch on that a little bit later. But just want to mention that this may open up finally George Kittle to play. It'll open up more Brandon Ayuk, because now there's a little bit more coverage on CMC. But that's something we could chat about once we get to the teams that have these players. Because one of the teams that I'm actually looking at right now, I'm looking at this team right now. This team has an interesting setup. Okay, this is Michael Crater versus Micah Rice. Kirkland signature versus cup half full. You take a look at these two teams here, right? You take a look and you have Mahomes versus Lawrence. Easy Mahomes favorite. You have Aaron Jones versus Fournette. I would favor Fournette on that one. And then you have Damian Pierce, who is a rookie running back who has been proving himself all year. Damian Pierce is an athlete. Although he's ranked as the 15th highest or 15th ranked running back right now in the last 3 weeks, aside from the bye, he's been putting up 18 plus points a game. Two of those over 20 points. When you have a running back that you manage to get, in this case, I'm looking at the draft here, 63rd overall in the fifth round, and he is one of the better, if not an RB1, I mean, you got him at a discount price. And you have Aaron Jones. I think Michael is at a deceiving 2-4, Justin. I think Michael should not be 2-4. His team is talented, aside from his tight end position, and I'm just expecting his team to finally start picking it up. Otherwise, he really will fall out of contention. So he's got a tough matchup this week against Micah.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's obviously missing Justin Jefferson on his bench. He's got, Kirk Cousins is kind of, you can switch between him and T-Law. And so I don't think he's really feeling the pressure there. But yeah, definitely in his wide receiver group, he's starting Valdez-Scantling and Sutton. And you don't love the KC wide receivers. So definitely a downgrade there against Micah's DK. And we're seeing Micah having Rondale Moore putting up an absolute stinker of a game, one reception, 31 yards for 4.1 points. And so, yeah, it's looking good for Michael, but it's probably going to come down to the running back position. I don't know if Alina has a different perspective on this. Do you see anything in this game, Alina?
It's hard because I think both teams have put up a pretty good fight this season. I feel like I agree with Michael's or Zach's opinion on Michael. Like, his team is so heavily stacked. His stats just kind of don't make sense. But at the same time, when you see what the teams have done or those players together have done, it's hard to give it to him. But at the same time, like, he has so much potential. Pierce is definitely someone to watch. I'm down with Sutton. Like, I think it's a great team. And I think he's looking pretty steady this week. I don't know, though. Like, I also give it to Micah. Like, he's sitting at third with me this season. And I don't know. I feel like it's also a really steady game to watch that I'm going to be excited to see what happens. But yeah, I'm leaning more towards Michael.
And it looks like the projections right now are favoring Michael only because Rondale Moore managed to only put up 4 points. He had one catch. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point that Sutton, he's been actually having a down game. If not, like, if you want to consider 12 points a down game, but he hasn't had very good games the last two for someone who should be a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver, one high-end wide receiver, too. I mean, he's got to put up a little bit more points. Drake London's been kind of having a stinker of a last couple of weeks. Started off strong for 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, though, I don't know. I mean, I'm rooting for Michael, but at the same time, I'm also rooting for Micah because sort of new to the league. And you look at who they have on bye. They have Jefferson on bye, Kupp on bye, Devontae Smith on bye. You have Dallas Goedert on bye. I mean, like, each team has three big names on their benches that they just cannot play. So it's probably going to be a low-scoring event.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, evened out the matchup, I think. So no one team can say, like, oh, you got me on my bye week. I'm like, oh, you got me on my bye week. Both their top wide receivers are out. And so you can't really say whether who would win this matchup.
This is I think who wins this matchup is who had a better draft. This is a depth matchup right here. When you have your guys that are that high of drafts picks, Smith, Cooper, Jefferson, probably Goddard was maybe drafted a little bit higher than normal for most people. But like, yeah, a sixth round pick. So I mean, competitive, but still not too high of a pick. Like, that's depth. You know, how well is your team stacked at this point? So
definitely a depth matchup.
I think aside from that, though, if we're looking at any other matchups, let's talk about Alex and his father-in-law, Larry Falcon, with rooting for Alina versus My Harris falling out. When I take a look at these two teams, I already see that Alvin Kamara has put up 17. But unfortunately, Larry also started Robbie Anderson with a zero. So we're looking at this matchup, and Alex is projected for 104. Not that much higher, but still enough to actually point out that he's about 7 points higher projection over Larry. You got QBs, you got running backs. Do you see any sort of one side being favored here, Justin?
It's tough. They are fielding some mediocre teams right now. You're talking about quarterbacks, Justin Herbert versus Geno Smith. This kind of, if you're going to say that, they're similar quarterbacks. And this year, if you were like predicting the season, you'd call me crazy. But yeah, Geno Smith is a top 10, top 5 quarterback for fantasy right now. And so, yeah, it's a hot take, but yeah, he has been on fire.
And what about you, Alina? Take a look here and you see Geno Smith, Justin Herbert. How do you feel about these two quarterbacks?
It's hard to give it to Herbert when I know Geno Smith has a higher cap potential right now. At least he's put up more points this season and he's had better games. Personally, though, I am rooting for Larry, not to be biased because his name is, I'm rooting for Alina, but I really am hoping Herbert has one of his last season games where he puts up really high points. But if we're talking about quarterbacks potential, I think Geno Smith has a higher cap for putting up more points.
I agree 100%. I think Justin Herbert, we know that he can probably put up high 20s, but we've obviously seen Geno put up things in the 30s. So I think Justin Herbert could probably be more consistent, but I think Geno is just playing above all expectations, and you have to give credit to that coaching staff and as well as Geno Smith as well. So you take a look, though, at these running backs, Kamara versus Harris, Hubbard versus Hunt. I mean, these two versus two. Alina, when you look at these, are there any players that you're surprised to see right now?
I mean, you have to look at who's out, but and they're on a bye week on both teams, but no, I think that they both have a lot of potential. I'm actually really excited because Kamara hasn't really done too much this season to have another high scoring game. Like, that's exciting to see because in the first 4 weeks, he really didn't do much.
Oh, yeah.
Adding that into taking that into consideration, you know, I know Harris can do it. And so I don't know. I think it's kind of a wash for me. I don't know which way it's going to go. I think there's only like, what, 6 point difference in the point percentage. So this might be another close game.
Yeah, I'm looking at these receivers though, Justin. And you know, you got Deontay Johnson being started over here with Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Deontay Johnson doesn't get enough coverage?
Yeah. So I think this matchup definitely goes down to the wide receivers. You got Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson for Alex, and you have Jamar Chase and Devontae Parker for New England. So you have to give the edge to Alex for having Mike Evans and Deontay Johnson. Yeah, Kenny Pickett's the quarterback, but Deontay Johnson's just a target machine. He's going to get a lot of looks. And so you hope that the looks turn into points. And if we're talking about looks, Mike Evans is going to get a lot of the looks from Tom Brady. And I just don't see Jamar Chase can obviously put up 30, 40 points, but he's had some games where he's not produced. And so I think I have the edge for Alex in this situation because I don't believe in Devontae Parker. I don't believe he's done much lately. he's kind of just a plug-in player because he has no one else and he's got players on buys. So yeah, I think I'm leading Alex in this matchup just because of the receivers.
I think I agree. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase should have those good games where he gets like 20 or 30. Against Atlanta, he might have one of those good games, but I don't think it's enough to keep up with Alex's team here in this case. I mean,
I don't know, guys.
Alex has a consideration for... Oh, we know he doesn't have Miles Sanders on bye. Alina, did you spot anything that you notice?
Yeah, I'm looking at all four players' stats, and believe it or not, Johnson hasn't done that great this season. And I mean, obviously, Evans had the game he had to sit out, but neither has he. Parker has put up more points, and so has Chase. So I really do, like, Johnson has had some games where he's only put up 4 points, and 8 points last week. And if you look at, you know, if you're looking at the other side of that, Parker hasn't really had too many games. He's only had, yeah, he's had 3 games where he hasn't put up much, but his games that he did put up high points, it's 20, 10, 10. I beg to differ,
Alina. I think Deontay Johnson is a lot more valuable than Parker.
Parker put up 2 games with 0 points, and that's big. You cannot have a player getting 0 points in your lineup.
Deontay Johnson only has 2 games where he's put up less than 10 points. He's put up over 11 in every other of his games.
Right, but Chase hasn't put under 10.
Right, but that's point. Also his first-round draft pick.
Yeah, but that was my point, saying, you know, I'm definitely saying Ja'Marr Chase and Evans are going to be the highlight. I don't know. I'm not convinced that Larry's team isn't going to put up anything. Like, I think it's a good run for their money. I think that both sides have put up some good points, and I don't think it's going to be, like, heavily favoring Alex's team. I think the other team still has some fight in them. I think if the points prove anything, they can do it. I think it's just going to depend on this week.
Uphill battle in this case for Larry, yes, because I think he started Robbie Anderson over Brandon Cooks. That was his first mistake.
I agree.
So Brandon Cooks should have been started in the flex. I don't think if you have Brandon Cooks, you ever take him out of your flex. Brandon Cooks is that kind of guy. He's a flex guy. You put him in, he'll surprise you with 18. He'll do just fine. You'll expect it with a 9. So, I mean, that's Brandon Cooks. And when you have him on your team, you play him in the flex. So moving on, we have another matchup here between one of our fellow co-hosts who unfortunately isn't here for the remainder of the period. We have Sanjay Singh, the Kings of the North, versus Captain Mimosa. Alina, when you look at these two quarterbacks, Tua being started by Sanjay and Lamar Jackson being started by Elijah, who stands out to you? Which one should do better?
That's hard to say. So Tua's coming back, right? And so I don't know if he's going to be able to put up the 38 points that he did in the prior season or previously the season. But also Jackson, you know, he also had a couple of really great games, had some not so great games. I don't know. I think it's heavily leaning towards Jackson, but I'm not counting two out. I'm just concerned that it's his first week back.
I would say I agree 100% with every single thing you said. I don't think you should count two out, but I wouldn't put it on him to try to get over 25, 30 points. The guy just came back from like a double head injury. I mean, that's awful. Think about it though, Justin. If you had between Tua and, in this case, I'm looking around here, his benched QB, he has Jared Goff and Daniel Jones. Would you consider starting either of them over Tua?
Yeah, so Sanjay's being the little hoarder of quarterbacks this season.
A little bit.
And so you have Jared Goff going against Dallas. I mean, Dallas's defense has been better lately, so it might be a down matchup for Jared Goff. Obviously, I'm rooting for Jared Goff to get the ball to Amon-Ra, but I digress. Daniel Jones, he can move with his legs, but he's got no weapons, and so you don't know what he can really do. So you have to go with Tua, even though you don't know what his situation is. He's got Tyreek Hill, he's got Waddle, he's got Gesicki, he's got who's their running back? Mostert? No, I'm sorry, I'm talking about Tua and
It's Mostert right now, and then Edmonds is the third down.
Yeah,
guy.
So I think Tua has the better weapons who can make plays after the catch, and so that's gonna up Tua's point value and his I think he just has the edge. I mean, even if he's just doing short cross paths and short slants to Tyreek and to Waddle, those players are going to just make plays after the catch. And so, yeah, Tua is definitely the call, I think, in this situation.
Okay. Alina, when you look at Tyreek Hill versus Michael Pittman or Mike Williams versus Alan Lazard, the name Tyreek Hill stands out a lot. And when you have Tyreek Hill on your team, you're expecting big points. Funny enough, though, every time that Tyreek Hill scores points, Tua is probably scoring points too. So whenever you start someone that is probably catching a ball or is throwing the ball to someone else on the other team, would you feel like you have more of an advantage when you have the person catching the ball over someone who's throwing it?
I think it heavily favors both, right? So the in week two, we had Hill, who had an amazing week with 42 points, but Tua wasn't far behind with 38.8. So I definitely see where you're going with that point, is if Hill's scoring, so is Tua. So I think it definitely is a smart move on Sanjay's point to play Tua this week in this matchup against Elijah. But I mean, Hill has more potential to get more points just based off the position he's in. I think it's a little bit trolling on Sanjay's part, but also something that I'm excited for to see is, you know, the playmaker is going to have to give the ball to Hill, and that playmaker is going to be Tua.
Dude, it's like he's playing defense with this quarterback. It's kind of how it feels.
Yeah.
It's trolling, in my opinion, but I'm here for it.
You guys take a look at the rest of their team. You got really the tight ends, and there's not much else. Chris Olave, obviously putting up a great wide receiver rookie season. You have the Hockenson-Kelsey matchup here. Hockenson, obviously we know that he could put up 30, but if he's not putting up 30, he's putting up 8. So it's tough on that part. Hopefully a 30 hits for Larry. Kelsey, just doing Kelsey things. I mean, you look at what he's done all throughout the entire year. 10-plus points in every single matchup, and of those 10 of those matchups, 1, 2, 3 have been over 24 points. So Kelsey definitely worth that high round pick.
I kind of wanted to highlight the running backs for Elijah.
Go ahead.
I love me some Elijah, and I think his running backs are in trouble. He's got CEH, and he's got Wilson Jr. for the San Francisco room. And so who knows if CMC is going to play or not. It's kind of up in the air. But if he does, he's going to take away a lot of value from Wilson Jr. And CEH is very touchdown dependent. And so touchdowns are hard to come by. And so I feel that maybe Sanjay has the edge because of his running backs. He's got DeAndre Swift and Etienne, who's come into his own and maybe taking the backfield of that Jacksonville offense. So that's something to look out for.
I did not realize. Yeah, you're right. Those running backs, they might be a little weak. And then also just playing against the Niners this week, man. That's
tough.
Stuff on that end, yeah.
You know how I feel about Kelsey? I'm going to root for him till the day I die. Mm-hmm. I think his potential is unmatched, and Hawk can put up the points, but based off having him on your team, like, that's a solid match, and he can definitely bring that team to a win if he needs to. So I don't know. I know that Captain Mimosa is projected to win, but I wouldn't count the King of the North out this week.
I think someone who we also shouldn't count out this week is the person who we have been making a mockery of the entire season. And Justin, I think you would know exactly which matchup I'm talking about.
Yeah, and we're talking about Ben versus Chris. And so, yeah, me and Ben, 1-5. And so we're both trying to get away out of the bottom of the league. And so Ben, looking pretty strong, though, especially with coming off the Thursday night game with Eno Benjamin, getting him at 23.3 in his flex position. And he's boasting some very strong running backs. He's got Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor. And so, yeah, it's looking, but yeah, he's going against a couple other strong running backs for Chris, because he's got Saquon Barkley and Ramondre Stevenson. So that's going to be a battle to see who's going to come out on top there. But what are you guys looking at in this matchup?
What do you think, Alina?
I feel like Chris has proven himself to be the top dog this season, so it's hard to root against him. But Ben's team's looking really, really solid this week. Other than his quarterback, who I'm not rooting for, I think that, you know, his team's looking pretty great.
Yeah. It kind of just depends on his tight end position. Who knows what that is going to do? He's starting the Greg Dulcich versus right. the proven commodity that is Mark Andrews.
Yeah, Mark Andrews, what is it? Maybe was it 3 or 4 seasons ago he really came through? And now he's just like, if you didn't get Kelce, you got to take Andrews, right? Was that like 3 or 4 seasons ago he finally came through?
Yeah, I mean, last year he was just like, just the best. I mean, he was a league winner. And he definitely won people a lot of leagues. I know he won me my league and our 10-man league that I'm with you and some other friends. So, yeah.
Mark Andrews is...
Go ahead.
No, you're good. Sorry. Arguably, I think he might have taken the top spot last year, based off of Kelce being out in that playoff game. It really hurt a lot of fantasy teams, myself included, because it definitely lost me my championship. I think Andrews was definitely the more solid choice last year. I think Kelce put up higher points, but Andrews was there and consistent.
Yeah, they're definitely close together. But yeah, I mean, if I was a betting man, I think I'm going to lean towards Ben, just because I know that he has got his 23 points already for the flex, and so he's got a healthy lead already, and so I can't fault Ben's team right now, especially with Henry and Taylor. I think they're going to go off, and so we'll see. Yeah.
I still think Chris should put CMC in his flex position, even though he's going to be in the goal line packages. You got to put him in there. He could snag 2 TDs and get you 12 points just like that. So.
Oh, yeah. Over Mooney? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I would definitely start him over Mooney. But, I mean, you look at this. I also, as much as I want to favor Ben, I actually really think Ben's team is pretty good on paper. It looks good this week. Mm-hmm. And you look at him versus Chris, it's just that I know that Chris is going to pull this through. The Pickens play, for some reason, it's going to work with Kenny Pickett thrown to him. We saw that in the preseason, that George Pickens and Kenny Pickett, they have some sort of chemistry that's going on. It's probably going to happen. It's going to work out. I don't think the Mooney thing is going to work out. So if he switches to CMC, dude, I think that's an automatic win then for the new guy if he does that. But aside from that, man, I think Ben might have the slight edge here. And I really do hope Ben wins, because Ben and Chris are buddies. And I know Ben will not let him hear the end of it.
I think it's poetic in a way, too, right? The number 14 in our league taking out number 1 and making him tied for first, right? So
that, and also just like the idea of what fantasy is. It's not a sprint. It's not to be undefeated for 6 weeks. It's about making it to the playoffs. We have seen people that are 12-1, you know, 11-0, make it to playoffs and then lose the first game. We've seen it. People 6-8 make it to the playoffs and win a championship. Like,
yeah,
you know, or 7-5 and win a championship. And it's like, hey, it happens. You know,
just gotta make it to the dance.
Just have to make it there. And so if Ben can, just like Justin, pull some magic off, guys, I think we're going to have a competitive league. But who knows? Just the points know. That's going to leave one last matchup, though, guys. One final matchup, and it's the matchup of the week. In this case, Alina, what is the matchup of the week this week?
This is a house divided this week, guys. If you don't know, I am facing my husband. So Million Dollar Baby and Better Than Expected, formerly known as I'm Rooting for Sanjay, are going head to head this week. And, you know, it's anyone's game. I think Million Dollar Baby is definitely projected to win at this point. However, I wouldn't count my team out, because we've just been pushing the most random wins this season.
Yeah. Justin, and looking at the lineups,
what do you have to say? Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the lineups, definitely you got to favor Zach and the running back department. But other than that, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, a lot of boom bust players. We got the Taysom Hill already for the 10 points. So we'll see if Kittle can match that or even do better than that. He did better last week. And so hopefully he can build on that last week and pull through. But yeah, it's going to be, I think it'll be an interesting one.
Dude,
what do you guys got?
Here's the thing. I'm excited to try out a new quarterback, but I'm also on my bye week, and she's catching me with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts out.
Yeah,
I start Matt Ryan, and now with the CMC trade, Jimmy Garoppolo has a chance to have someone who's an athlete catch a ball from him 2 yards out and run it for a touchdown. So, I mean,
whoop, whoop.
I think Jimmy G gets an upgrade I don't think he's QB1 status, but he's definitely high QB2 streamer status for sure. And a little nervous, but at the same time, I also have a good 1-2 punch with Eckler and Chubb. Godwin, he's doing okay. Unfortunately, I still have to start Renfro. But we've seen that Alina can also pull some things out of a hat, like Cooper doing great. McLaurin might get some things back on track. I do think her running backs are a little weak at the moment. And I think that's where it gives me an edge.
Yeah, definitely. But like you got the Claypool versus Carter in the flex. And so I think you have to favor Claypool just because Carter is the secondary back in that offense. And Claypool is the 1B to Deontay Johnson's 1A. Maybe Pickens takes more of his looks, but I think Claypool's getting looks from Pickens in the deep field, as you saw last week. So it'll be interesting.
I'm going to be honest with you. From week one, my whole shtick this season has just to been to not lose and to just do my best. So if I lose, this is the one week I would like to not lose. But if I do, it is what it is, right? I'm not really standing down and saying Jimmy G is going to get me the most points, but I think he's consistently going to get me at least 16. I feel like he's on the same boat as Brady this season and Rodgers. He's going to get me a good 16, 17 points, and I'm going to be happy with that. I wouldn't count out Robinson. He's had some high weeks. I don't think he's Eckler or Chubb value, but I'm hopeful that he's going to give me some good points this week. You know how I feel about my boy Cooper. I think that he has proven himself this season and done some good things. McLaurin's newer to my team. I'm not as consistent with him, or I'm not as proud of him as I am of Cooper. But, you know, I can't count him out either. And, yeah, I think this is going to be a good week for Kittle. So we'll see.
Guys, I think that we have an exciting week ahead of us. I mean, the game of the week is really exciting. But looking at the projections, 13+ in my favor. Oof. I have a strong feeling that I might take this one, Lena. But you know what? Even if I win, I'll sleep on the couch if I have to.
You know what? My only thing is saying that's what a lot of people have said this season, and I'm still somehow 4-2. So we'll see.
Definitely doing better than expected. With that said, everybody, this is going to wrap it up for us. We have week 7 coming on up, so I'm excited for it. Hope you guys are excited. We're going to go ahead and see you next time.
See you.
Bye.